The corn market erased early losses and pushed to the upside, while bean futures fell under the weight of some profit-taking and spillover pressure from sharp losses in soybean meal. Live hogs pushed higher, but the cattle complex, ended the day lower.
Live from a balmy 20-degree afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we have Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk. He's got 1 foot in the studio and 1 foot out the door for a four-day weekend.
Hey!
Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Did you say 20 degrees over there?
Actually, I think it's more like 21.
Wow. We're six.
23 now. Oh, 25. I don't know what's going on out there, but...
Yeah.
The sun.
You know, it is 6 degrees right now, and I think it was supposed to be warmer than that, but it's going to continue to warm up through the evening, is what it sounds like.
Now,
so.
And you're going to do something so your water does not give you a surprise when you get home.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's nothing quite like that shock to the system that you get when you – turn on the shower first thing in the morning. You're thinking, let's get up, let's get going, and there's no water. I got to experience that one day this week. No fun. But quick fix, cold fix, but a quick fix to get things back up and running. So, yeah, we've got more cold temperatures coming over the weekend and the middle of next week, Wednesday into Thursday. Woo, man, that one's gonna have a bite to it, no doubt. All right, thank you, Joe. Hey, sure. We've got Chip Nellinger on the show coming up here in just a little bit. We've got a lot of news and some perspective to get to on the show. It's a report day, USDA report day, monthly cattle and feed report. These are rounded numbers, but it's what I've got for you right now. Total number of cattle. Yeah, let's start with the place number. Number of cattle placed in December up 6% from year ago. Trade expected a 2.6% increase. So placements way above expectations. Marketing's 100% of year ago, and the trade was looking for 101. 101. So bigger than expected placements, lighter than expected marketings. That should translate into a bigger Jan 1 feedlot inventory than what was expected, and total number of cattle on feed, 101%. Yeah, the trade expected 99.8% of year ago. So cattle numbers might be a little bit negative for this market when we get things restarted. But after the market was under a little bit of pressure yesterday and again today, may have most of that pressure, already built into the market. So, all right, let's go ahead and get to some of this news. Winter wheat futures ended the week with back-to-back lower closes. That's despite winter kill risks in HRW and SRW areas for this weekend and the middle of next week. Russia's wheat export tax for the January 26 to February 1 sale period will be $95.80 per metric ton. That's down from $97.50 per ton in the current market period. Now, any setback in that sales in that export tax will keep importers going to the Black Sea for supplies. That's true, of course, as long as Russia does not invade Ukraine. If that happens, there will be pressure on importing countries to take their business to other sources in an effort to put pressure on Russia. Wheat export sales in the weekend of January 13 totaled nearly 381,000 metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations. March HRW wheat futures today were 3.25 cents lower at 7.93 1/4. March SRW wheat dropped 10 1/4 to 7.80, and March spring wheat futures closed at 9.36. That was down 8 3/4 cents today. But what a week for the wheat market. March SRW futures, and don't forget, this was a 4-day week. March SRW futures up 38.5 cents on the week. March HRW futures up 48.25 cents. The winter wheat spread put a dime on it this week in favor of the HRW market. And then spring wheat this week was the big jump of the week for all of the markets. We had the March spring wheat contract up 57¾ cents. That was up 6.58% on the week. March corn futures posted price gains each day this week and finished with a push to a new 2022 high and the highest close since June 10 of last year. USDA reported export sales of nearly 1.1 million metric tons in the weekend of January 13. That topped trade expectations and was up sharply from recent weekly totals. USDA this morning also reported the sale of nearly 248,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations. In the current marketing year, of course, is when that will be delivered. The stressed Argentine corn crop, it's expected to see some relief this weekend, and that likely stopped March corn futures from reaching 620 in today's session. March corn futures were 5¼ cents higher at 516¼. May corn firmed 3¼ to 614. July corn futures closed at 608½, up 2 cents on the day. On the week, March corn futures up 20 cents. Big move. July corn futures up 15 cents on the week. While all the ag markets seem to benefit from the inflation play and the movement of investment dollars from equities to commodities this week, the soy complex was a big gainer because of that. Soybean oil moved back into a leadership role in the complex with soybean meal. It found itself on the short side of spread action to wrap up the week. USDA reported export sales of 671,000 metric tons of soybeans in the weekend of January 13. That was at the low end of trade expectations. Meal sales of 315,000 metric tons easily topped trade expectations. And soybean oil sales in the week of nearly 31,000 metric tons were double the biggest trade guess for oil sales. USDA also announced the sale of 132,000 metric tons of beans for delivery to China in the current marketing year. Technically, March soybean futures posted an upside reversal on the weekly chart. That was a big move. March beans, 11½ cents lower at 14.14¼. So even with that lower close in the March contract, still an upside reversal on the weekly chart. May beans fell 11½ cents to 14.23. July soybeans closed at 14.27¼, down 11½ cents. On the week, March beans up 57.50, and it make up 57½ cents. July soybeans were up 41¼ cents. Cotton export sales in the weekend of January 13 backed off from the previous week. Still very impressive. 273,000 bales for delivery in the current marketing year, 139,000 bales for delivery in the 2022-23 marketing year. March cotton was 212 points lower at 120.75, and July cotton fell 143 points to 115.44. February cattle, 40 cents lower, 137.92½. April live cattle dropped 107.5 to 142.10. March feeders fell 165 to 163.30. Pork export sales, excellent in the week. 38,700 metric tons. Japan was the big buyer. Mexico bought another 10 ton. February hogs, 127.5 higher at 86.20. April hogs jumped 95 cents to 94.95. On the week, February live cattle down a nickel. March feeders down $3.75. February lean hogs up $5.30.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Yeah, we are racing into the end of the week. Thanks for joining us to be part of it. I'm your host, Chip Flory. This is AgriTalk. And, yeah, let's jump right into the conversation with Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. How you doing, Chip?
Doing great. Always great to be on with you, Chip.
Love it. Love it when you're here, man. How's 2022 treating you so far?
So far, so good. A little chilly to start the year here in Central Illinois, but, you know, every time I complain about that, all my friends to the north quickly bring me back to reality and with some of their tales from Minnesota and the Dakotas. So I won't complain too much.
Yeah. 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 I was talking with Sean Haney from north of the border this morning. They were like 40 degrees. I couldn't believe it. Here I am sitting at like 6 degrees right now in northeast Iowa. That's a bit chilly. So, okay. What do you make of the volatility and the way that the money is flowing around in the, I won't just limit it to the ag commodities, but the commodity world in general, Chip?
Yeah, in general. So, you know, I think you got a lot of things going here. It is the start of a new year here. You know, we're only, 3 weeks into it. So that's that time of year where you oftentimes see some money flowing, you know, into and out of different asset classes. And, you know, to your point, I think a lot of it's going into commodities. In fact, what day was it? I guess Wednesday, you look, there was really nothing lower. Any commodity you pick, the grains, the livestock, the soft commodities, the metals, the energies, everything was higher. So there's definitely money flowing into commodities on this, you know, inflation story that's very real. You've got crude oil, you know, knocking on the door at $90. But you also have some bullish things that are starting to happen, too, with the, you know, the Russian-Ukraine potential conflict there. Obviously, the weather in South America has been friendly. And, you know, that all kind of goes into the mix as well. The stock market starting the year off with a correction here. And I think that might be driving some of that money flow maybe out of equities into hard assets and commodities. So a lot going on. You know, it's a full-blown weather market on top of it in the grains. And, you know, it is wildly volatile. I think that's going to continue for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think it continues to. You know, this morning when we started the morning hour of AgriTalk, 10 o'clock Central, the Dow had moved off of session lows and was actually trading like 100 points higher, something like that, at the start of the show. By the time we were done with the show, the Dow was basically steady, and here we are now making new lows. The last hour of trade in the equities, Chip, for all week has been pretty tough to watch, but here we are 400 points lower in the Dow right now. But as the equities drifted to the downside, you could see the corn market drifting to the upside today. It was pretty remarkable to watch.
Absolutely. Very strong. A little bit of a head scratcher. You know, we did see a sale this morning to unknown. The export sales were okay. But a little bit of a head scratcher to me that corn was so strong today. But you cannot deny it. You know, I looked earlier, third highest close that the March contract has had since it came on the board, you know, year and a half, 2 years ago. And so we're in some pretty rare air up here.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I continue to the old crop stocks. I'm talking 21 crop stocks continue to be a conversation piece, Chip. I would have thought that there was more corn that would have that had already moved, especially now that we are 3 weeks into the new year. But it sounds like movement the first 3 weeks of this year, yes, it increased from what we saw at the end of last year, but it wasn't like there was this big wave of corn that came to the market, was there?
No, I think there was, you know, I think something that, you know, maybe cushioned that a little bit, at least around here, the eastern part of the Corn Belt, we had such great weather November, December. I think there was a lot of grain moved in November and December because the weather was so good. Guys got finished up with harvest, got a lot of field work done. And, you know, we didn't have our first snow here until a couple of weeks ago. So we had clear roads and smooth truck in there November, December. So I think that was part of it. I think that we're probably about average, you know, maybe 30-35% of the crop left as far as corn goes, maybe less than that, 20-25 on the beans. I don't think that's too far out of the realm of normal, but you know, what I think happened though, you look at the old crop stocks and corn and beans, you're like, well, they're not wildly bullish, but this drought in the Southern Hemisphere has tightened things up and it makes the new crop more interesting. And I think some of those bets, so to speak, or the buying is coming in the front end. We're getting the inversions here, you know, old crop to new crop. And I think that's got to be something that, you know, you look at and maybe get a little more friendly on the new crop stuff, the 2022 stuff for corn and beans here.
I'm fine with that. I can handle that and get a little more friendly on the new crop. On the old crop, I've had some conversations with growers, and I've exchanged some texts. I was getting ready to back away from the $6 feels expensive for corn, for old crop corn, but I don't know if I can yet. I get it. The inflation thing is at play in corn, and there's the uncertainty over the South American supplies and everything. But if I was sitting with a bin full of corn and March futures at 615, 620, I'd have a hard time not selling that corn, Chip. I really would.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, especially if you're in an area that had really good yields. You're looking at $1,300-$1,400 gross. Great money there. That's kind of what we've been preaching to. Get ready to get cleaned out on stuff here on the old crop, other than what you want to kind of hold for gambling stocks into summer, and that shouldn't be a very high percentage of your crop. You want to make some, stay in the game, make some bets that we continue to go higher. Do that with some call spreads or something, not a bin full of corn or beans. Basis is still pretty good in a lot of areas too. So, why not move it, get that gross revenue generated, wild profitability, because this thing could change overnight. It feels good now when we're going higher, but there's a lot of uncertainty out here. Geopolitical, the Fed could come in. They come in and do a surprise 25 or 50 basis point increase on interest rates. Inflation isn't going to reign forever, especially if the Fed's in a tightening mode and the stock market continues to sell off. Inflation isn't going to be here forever. So there's a lot of financial risk out there in these markets.
Right. And this, I don't know if we have, but I lived through inflation. And it just doesn't feel, I tried to explain yesterday that inflation has already happened, because inflation is really the increase in the money supply at a time of economic growth. So inflation is already here. It's then reflected in higher prices for the goods and services. But when we throw in the scarcity component of some of these goods, services, it's a component that I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out. And it's because of the supply chain stuff is what I'm talking about, Chip. I don't know how that's all going to impact everything.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think it's added to, the inflation in the short run here.
Yeah.
My brain goes back, though, that if the Federal Reserve follows through on what they say they're going to do, and that's increase rates, the economic law says that is going to slow the economy down, tighten things up, slow some of that demand down. If you get the consumer then, kind of on the wrong foot, and there's a lot of indications that they've increased, in general on the consumer side, increased, their debt and consumer debt there. So you crimp them a little bit. At the same time, the economy cools down, and it will have an effect, especially if we're at so-called high prices here. Higher prices will slow demand down eventually. And so the backside of this inflation, I'm not saying it's coming next week or even 3 months down the road. I don't know how long that will be, but if they get the interest rate environment increasing like they say they're going to, the backside of this inflation is going to get a little bit ugly, and it won't be fun to have the hangover. It's coming. We know that. I just don't know exactly when. It's probably not in the very short run, but I'm very concerned about it in the big picture.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good thoughts, Chip. And it's not an easy issue to figure out exactly. The problem with the inflation play in the commodities is, I think when it ends, nobody's going to ring the bell on this one. It's not going to be like it rains and we're fixing a drought. Nobody rings the bell at the top of a rally in commodities based on inflationary worries. So it's going to be really tricky.
On top of that, the market has conditioned us that beans break $2, don't worry about it. It'll come back and go into new highs. And it's done multiple times.
we'll talk more about that when we come back. We got to take a break, Chip. We'll be right back. Time now for some news of note from Pro Farmer. Ukraine has hit back at President Joe Biden's suggestion earlier this week that a minor incursion by Russian forces into the country might not prompt a severe allied response. Ukraine President Zelensky said in a tweet, "We want to remind the great powers that there are no minor incursions and no small nations." A push to encourage truckers in Canada and the U.S. to get vaccinated is stopping a lot more than just COVID-19 at the border. Bloomberg reports that just days after new rules came into effect that require American truckers to be fully vaccinated to cross into Canada, grocers said some produce shelves were bare and the cost of hauling everything from tomatoes to lettuce from the southern U.S. has jumped 25%. Wow, big increase there. News of note taken from the pages of Pro Farmer. Get more news at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could be with us. We talked about it this morning, but I just got to say, rest in peace, Meatloaf. I got to throw that out there. One of my favorites. One of my absolute favorites. Bat Out of Hell album was playing in my car like all the time. And fourth biggest all-time selling album right there was Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell. Crazy. Crazy. Okay, we've got a conversation going with Chip Nellinger. Before we get back to Chip, I'm going to go ahead and recap where the markets closed. March HRW wheat futures, 3.25 cents lower, 7.93 1/4. March SRW wheat dropped 10 1/4 to 7.80. March corn futures, 5 1/4 cents higher, 6.16 1/4. May corn firmed 3 1/4 to 6.14. March beans, 11.5 cents lower, 14.14 1/4. May beans fell 11.5 cents to 14.23. March cotton was 212 points lower at 120.75. February live cattle futures, 40 cents lower at 137.92 1/2. March feeders fell $1.65 to 163.30. And February lean hogs, $1.27 1/2 cents higher at 86.20. Close over 86 bucks in that February contract. That means something. It really does. That $86 level has been a very pivotal point in hog futures for a long time, and here we are back on top of 86 bucks in the February contract. Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, is our guest today. Nice move in the hogs this week, Chip. February lean hogs up 6.55% on the week, man.
Big, big week. That just unbelievable, you know, what the cutout has done here. And, you know, like you said, to have $86 plus February hogs in January, have not done that many times in history.
That's right. That's right. And doing it at a time when there's so much uncertainty over just how much we're going to be able to get done every day on the processing side. For the market to perform the way that it did, it feels like some of that inflation play money has slipped into that market. Another market that feels like the inflation play money is helping out is soybean oil, right?
Yeah, for sure. And there's some fundamental, merit to that soy oil trade. You know, the vegetable oil markets worldwide have really struggled on the supply side with tightening supplies. Palm oil's kind of taken over again as a leader to the upside. And so that's a very real deal. And vegetable crush margins, you know, remain very, very strong. That's something, that doesn't get a lot of play. We're focused on China. Are they going to buy beans? Are they not going to buy beans? But domestically, ethanol margins very strong and soybean crush margins very strong as well. And soy oil is kind of taken back over in a leadership role there.
Yeah. Why are I... I don't have a good idea. I'll admit it right now. Why we're building stocks of ethanol in the country right now? I'm not because I know that the margins are there, and we had a big snapback this week in production, really ramped it back up. But a lot of that we're building ethanol stocks right now. That feels like it might be kind of a wet blanket over this market for a little while.
It could be. You know, I thought a little bit about that myself. And, you know, I think that maybe one thing it might be is transportation. If you look at the exports of ethanol, we're doing very strong. And really, last couple of years, very yeah. good ethanol exports. But it may be a transportation issue. You know, this supply chain, really, it's kind of constricted everywhere. I don't think that the river systems and the barge traffic, you know, is immune to that. So it might be able to kind of be, you know, explained away yeah. by that. Hopefully it doesn't last very long and it's temporary, though.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember a time when margins were good, and this has been a few years ago, but every tanker car, every available gallon of storage was being used because the margins were still there on the production side. It's just that our usage pace had slowed down. But you make a really good point on the exports, Chip, because that is kind of how the market functions. You build up those stocks, you get them in position at the export locations, you fill a boat, and the next week everybody says, wow, stocks just really, you know, dove in the week. So obviously we need to pay real close attention to it. Chip, what are you guys saying about 22 inputs and how they're going to manage that?
Yeah, it's all over the board, really. It's very erratic. I would say in general, there's less people that booked ahead and got those cheaper inputs, primarily because of the supply uncertainty, and retailers didn't have the actual physical inventory secured, and in a lot of cases would not quote a price to producers. And so it is all over the board. I have some producers I've talked to that, you know, got locked in at really cheap prices. And that makes these new contract highs in December 22 corn look really, really good. I've got other producers that their retailers in their area weren't able to give them a price. They didn't get stuff locked in. They're staring at, you know, $1,500 anhydrous and 565 December 22 corn futures. Doesn't look real exciting right now. So it's going to be, yeah, I hate the March acreage report every year. I have forever. I wish they'd change it. That no one listens to me, so I'm going to quit yelling about it. But we are set up for just some wild uncertainty and trade into that March acreage report. You know, already I've seen reports from a couple million acres less to some people thinking we're actually going to plant more corn acres. So yeah. We're set up for a wild surprise on that March acreage report.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that we will have is the spring price, as a better idea of what the spring price on the crop insurance is going to be when growers are answering that March 1 prospective plantings question. And, you know, that's an interesting point. Here we are, December corn futures, 565 and a quarter on January 21st. We've got a week and a day of trade left this month before we start establishing that spring price on corn and soybeans, Chip. Good grief. If the market just traded steady through February, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but if we end up with a spring price above $5.50, that's really going to be something. I don't know what that does to acres.
I don't either, but it certainly would be a good problem to have, because those are some pretty healthy, margins to be able to get some gross guarantees through our crop insurance at really strong levels. So, you know, again, that's just another wild card in that acreage decision. You know, take one quick look. I'm not a cotton expert by any stretch, but you take a look at a cotton chart, that's got to be in the mix in the South. And then, you know, obviously we know what spring wheat has done and oats, all-time highs recently. So, you know, those northern producers in Minnesota and the Dakotas have those crops in the mix as well. So it is just a real wild card. On top of that, you know, we've got this inflation and ongoing weather. You know, I mean, this second crop of corn that they haven't even planted in Brazil yet, this weather pattern is going to be closely watched, and that could drive some wild volatility.
Yes, yes, absolutely it could. Absolutely. Okay, so what does the conversation about 22 risk management sound like then? Are guys interested in locking in a price, building a price floor, anything?
They are. And in some cases, I guess, you know, time will tell whether we're proven right on this or not. We're taking an approach of being maybe a little more aggressive on new crop beans. We already have some on the books, obviously from lower levels than we're at today. And if we're wrong on that, and we could very well be, then this new crop corn is going to be drug a lot higher as well. So we're taking a more patient approach on the corn, unless we, you know, you tack 20 cents on new crop corn, get it up to 585, 590, just under $6. Then I think it's the green light to, you know, to hit some of that. But we're being a little more aggressive, I guess, or willing to sell new crop beans. You know, I guess, again, it could be argued either way. But, you know, outside of the main most productive areas of the I states, I'm talking the, you know, 230, 240 bushel corn ground, that's the minority of the acres in the Corn Belt. Right now, you got to make a strong argument that beans are winning the battle, and you know, the acreage is unsecured at this point. So, you know, we're taking a little more measured approach on the corn, trying to be a little bit patient, seeing if we don't you know, get some uncertainty into this second crop Brazilian corn growing season and some rallies there. But willing, especially if we get up 1350, 1370 area on November beans, I just think you know, you got to look at that gross dollar level. But you mentioned the month of February, that's going to play into this as well. And if we continue to rally, you know, a guy may be willing to be a little more patient because we have a higher spring crop insurance guarantee.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if the weather doesn't straighten out for the Safrina corn crop in Brazil, which you've mentioned a couple of times, Chip, and I think it's easy for a lot of market watchers right now to say, okay, it's the end of January. The time for a weather market in Brazil is over. Not with corn, not anymore. That may have been true 5 years ago, but a weather market is still very much a possibility for the next 60 to 90 days coming out of Brazil. And if that fires up, man, I don't know what the spring price might be. It'll be interesting. February's going to be really important for us. There's no doubt. No doubt. All right, buddy. Hey, man, we are out of time. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Appreciate what you do, and stay warm, all right?
You bet. Thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. That is Chip Nellinger. He is with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. I'll bet he'd like to be seeing a little bit more of the Blue Reef right now rather than the white tundra that's out in the Midwest. Okay, when we come back, I've got some closing thoughts for the week. I'll wrap it up next.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back. I'm Chip, and that's what you got for the end of the show today. Davis has been on the road quite a bit this week, and will be back in on Monday when I am going to be out for a couple of days. Get this, John Payne, Daniel's Trading, Swine Times, This Week in Grain, the publisher of those newsletters, is going to be in as guest host. John Payne on Monday and Tuesday, and Big Apple Joe just told me that the guest analyst for Monday afternoon, Josh Linville from StoneX, the fertilizer analyst. So, man, oh, man, you get John Payne, Davis Michelson, and Josh Linville talking fertilizer and markets and money flow, and that's going to be an awesome conversation, you guys. That will be really, really good. Of course, Monday morning, Clinton Griffiths is going to be sitting in as guest host. Davis will be here, and Machinery Pete will be part of the conversation on Monday morning as well. Okay. I still feel like $6 and definitely $14 are expensive based on the fundamentals of the markets. Okay. I got challenged on it again last night by a couple of guys, and I've given it a lot. I've been thinking about it a lot, and but Chip Nellinger just gave me the confidence to go ahead and say that I still feel like $6 and definitely 14 are expensive for old crop corn and soybeans. The reason that I say Nellinger gave me the confidence to say that is because he talked about let's move that risk out of the bin and put it on paper. I guess when I am thinking about what's expensive, I'm thinking about the cash commodity, the physical commodity. And to sit and hold risk in the bin with the marketing opportunities that we've got and the margins on that 21 crop that some have not locked in because they've got physical corn, physical soybeans unpriced, I wouldn't be able to do it. I would not be able to do it if I had a bin full of corn or soybeans. The risk that money could, you know, another COVID black swan, something happens, and that revenue could disappear that quickly, and the profit could disappear that quickly. That would be too much for me to handle. But like Chip said, let's take it from the bin, and if you want to maintain some upside potential, move it to paper, either a call option at or above the market or some sort of a call spread that will allow you to participate in the next 60, 80, I don't know, dollar of a rally, whatever you want to, however you want to set it up with your broker. That's fine with me. That's fine. But I just, the risk on the physical commodity makes me feel like $6 and definitely 14 are expensive on the old crop. Now on the new crop stuff, 565 on new crop corn, that really doesn't make it, that doesn't feel expensive. And it's because there's a lot of risk. We've got a lot of uncertainty over what's going to happen in the U.S., let alone with the safrinha corn crop in Brazil. And I know that the safrinha corn crop can be and probably would be an old crop market factor too. That's why if you want to participate, I'm okay with it, but do it on paper rather in the bin. Because there's another thing. What if it does rain? What if the bean harvest comes off and the rain starts to fall and that safrinha corn crop gets planted into ideal conditions? And that's going to weigh on the old crop market. I don't think there's any question about it. But I think the new crop market would be fairly stable in the 550 area at least. So I don't feel like 565 is expensive on new crop corn. And honestly, 1316 is where the NOV 22 bean contract closed today. I would agree with Chip. I could be a little more aggressive on the 2022 crop bean sales than I could be on 22 crop corn sales at this time. Once again, let's go over those numbers from the Cattle on Feed report. Total number of cattle placed in December up 6% from year ago. The trade expected a 2.6% increase. Marketings came in at 100% of year ago. Trade expected 101% of year ago. And the trade basically expected January 1 feedlot inventories to be steady with year ago, just down 0.2%. Down just 0.2%. Instead, January 1 inventories were up 1%. So I would like to say that may already be cooked into the cattle market, but it wouldn't surprise me if we'd see a little bit of pressure on that market come Monday morning because of these numbers coming in a little heavier on the inventory side. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for January 26th through the 30th. We've got the below normal temperatures Let's call it eastern Minnesota, most of Iowa, all of Iowa, eastern Kansas, and points to the east, looking at below normal temperatures. Hello up there in eastern Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota. You're looking at chance for above normal temperatures. Again, that is for January 26th through the 30th. And then near normal precipitation is expected up in North Dakota and northern Montana, northern Minnesota. But across the rest of the Midwest, we're looking at below normal precipitation in the 6 to 10-day outlook. In the 8 to 14-day, Jan 29 to Feb 4, we've got above normal temperatures in the mid-south of the country, from Texas up to southern Iowa, some colder temperatures moving back into the northern plains, and we've got above normal precipitation chances moving in across the entire country for Jan 29th through February 4th. All right, you know the plan for Monday. It's Clinton and Davis on Monday morning, John Payne and Davis on Monday afternoon. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Chip Flory.